Hello and welcome back, fans of sports, to Hey, It's a Sports Show. I'm your host, Lance Robbins. Yesterday we started the show off with a team in the NBA that nobody should be talking about, but everybody was talking about, and hopefully they'll stop talking about. Today we're going to talk about a team that we should be talking about for all the right reasons, because they're playing good basketball. We're going to talk about the team up there in Oakland. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors. Mark Jackson, for me, right up there with Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year candidates. I mean, doing a fantastic job. He's got his team a game out of the fourth spot in the West. And the West is a tough conference, as always. And the thing is, they're in the fifth spot, which isn't a bad place to be. You want home court in the first round, so obviously they want the fourth spot. Now, if you look at the top three spots, Thunder, Spurs, been there, done that. Barring monstrous injury or something of that nature, they're going to be there. And the Clippers, who can compete for the 1 and 2 spot, but they also appear that they're going to be just fine, and that the top three seeds are basically wrapped up. Plus, you don't want to face one of those teams. You don't want to be in the 6th, 7th, 8th seed. You know, you can go into it rah-rah all you want and say, oh, no, we want the hard challenge in the first round. We'll take on anybody. We're playing hot basketball. No, you don't. You do not want to play teams that are the defending conference champs in the Thunder. You don't want to face a Spurs team, no matter how old they are. Popovich has done it all before. Parker's done it all before. Ginobili's done it all before. And obviously, Tim Duncan is one of the greatest players in NBA history. So Mark Jackson has them in a real nice spot. And I watched them defeat the Thunder at home last night. A good game. And I came away very impressed by a multitude of things. One thing that actually really impresses me is what's going to happen in probably about a month. Everyone's going to hear about Derrick Rose coming back, which I will bust out my Addy Zero D Rose shoes and put on my jersey, as we all should. But the Warriors are actually getting their starting center back, Andrew Bogut, who is a very good big man, and people have kind of forgot about him. I don't know if because he's Australian or whatnot, but he can play. He's a good offensive rebounder, a decent defender, and he's got good touch around the rim. So that team looks to get even better. And the reason I came away impressed was just the youth and the depth of this team that people aren't talking about. Right now everyone's talking about David Lee, Steph Curry, as they should be. Look at their numbers. Fantastic. I'm not going to quote Shaquille O'Neal very often on this show, but Mr. Shaquille O'Neal did make a funny. He calls David Lee WCW, which stands for the White Chris Webber. And the first part, he's actually 100% accurate, because David Lee is white. That is correct. And the second part, he does have a good Chris Webber type game. He can hit the elbow jumper. He rebounds well, and he's right around 4 assists a game, and not averaging a great amount of turnovers. So I think he's under 3, somewhere around like 2-6. So that combination should get high praise. But what I really like about this team is last year they drafted Harrison Barnes out of North Carolina, and this guy's every bit of your wing player. This is the kind of guy you want. You know, he's going to be a future stat sheet filler. He can rebound. He's got a good jump shot. He can pass the basketball. He plays defense. And, you know, he's going to pile on minutes. You know, right now they have Richard Jefferson behind him, and Jefferson's coming off a calf injury, and he's actually looking pretty sharp again. So they're sharing minutes there at that position, but Barnes, they run some sets for him where he's actually playing point forward. He'll ISO on the top of the key, and he'll look to penetrate and kick, which is really nice because he's got Steph Curry, and like, it's great to have Steph Curry with the ball in his hand, but this guy can play the two guard in the NBA at a high, high level because of just how accurate he is shooting from the arc. And then the other guy he kicks to is another part of their future. And that's 2 years ago they drafted a kid out of Washington in the first round, Klay Thompson, whose dad was an NBA ball player. And he's just got a great-looking jump shot. He curls off the screen like a Ray Allen, a Rip Hamilton, at that two-guard spot. And he's a big two-guard, too. And so when he penetrates and kicks to one of those two guys, you got great accuracy from both wings. And it's a tough combination to stop. And Klay Thompson's a future bucket getter. I mean, he's not terrible with the ball, with his handle, and he will slash every once in a while, but his jump shot's just fantastic. Back of the iron every time, splappa every time, 2 points, 3 points. He looks fantastic out there. And then their depth, as I said, Bogut hasn't played yet. Festus Ezeli is going in there, banging with all the centers. Him and Kendrick Perkins, that was a good battle. You could tell if Kendrick Perkins doesn't get the best of your center in the physical battle, then you know you got a good physical center in there, because that's as physical as it gets. And so Bogut will be back. They'll have to make a decision. Is it going to be Bjergens? Is it going to be Ezeli in there? You got to remember, Bjergens is getting paid quite a bit of money. He's got a real nice contract, and that's because he either was second or led the league in offensive rebounding and was one of the top rebounders and was showing good touch around the basket and can run the court. All these things have gone away. You know, he's not one of the better offensive rebounders anymore. And if he can find that again, you put Bogut and Bjergens next to each other in a lineup, that's a lot of offensive rebounds. You know, that's a good way to close a opponent out. But if you look at who else is coming off that bench in the post, Carl Landry. And that guy can score on anybody. It's even better that he's on a second team because he's going against a second-string center or a second-string power forward. And this guy knows how to get mismatches, knows how to face the basket, and knows how to score with his back to the basket. I believe he had 20 points last night, which he can get on any given night. But him and Jarrett Jack are averaging about 12 off the bench. So that's really good depth, you know. They're core 8-9 guys. Can take them really far. And Mark Jackson, like I said, one of the top two Coach of the Year candidates currently. Things to look forward to tonight. Don't forget to check out the Blackhawks versus the Dallas Stars. Blackhawks off to a great start. They're going to look to better their record to 4-0, which is a tremendous record when you remember that the season is 48 games long. And if you look at the Blackhawks' schedule, it's kind of ridiculous. I believe they have 12 back-to-back scenarios. 12 times 2, because that's 2 games. That's 24 games. That means half of their schedule is of the back-to-back variety. Is that fair? Probably not. But if any team can take it on, it's the Hawks, at least currently. You won't find a third and fourth line playing better in the NHL. They look fantastic out there with depth. And they have a couple guys injured right now that will play key roles later in the season, I'm sure. The one thing I do take away from the Hawks late last season and currently is the power play team. Sure, we look great on a 5-on-3. Like the first goal of the season against the Kings. Fantastic. But for me, what I see missing is what we lost just because of the cap, basically. And that's that big body, Dustin Byfuglien type. Just traffic in front of the net. Just don't have that guy who can get in front of the net, get in that mindset of screening the goalie, etc. Or just moving defenders through the center of the ice. And the guy who I like watching, I don't like watching the team, but the Red Wings, Franzen, this guy does it just as good as anyone in the league. They can find that Franzen type. He just smothers the goalie. I mean, their mask must smell like his backside if you get two or three power plays against the wings. I mean, he's right in there every single time, just owning the crease. Also coming up this weekend, in a couple days, Saturday, on free TV, all you fight fans, great MMA card. The UFC on Fox returns with UFC on Fox 6. And that's going to feature a couple 125ers. This is one of those don't blink because they're going too fast. Make sure you caffeinate before that one starts. That's 5 rounds of buzzsaw action. You're not going to find a more explosive 125er than Dodson, and a guy who puts together great combinations in the 125 flyweight division champion, Demetrius Johnson. The key for me in this matchup is, you know, little guys, little limbs, they're not easy to lock up. Every once in a while, you'll see a neck get cranked, but it's hard to grab those Kimuras. It's hard to grab an arm bar. It's hard to keep them in a triangle. I'd really like to see how long it takes for Demetrius Johnson to get John Dodson down and keep him down. I mean, Dodson is a human pogo stick. I've seen him go down to a knee. I've seen him go onto his butt. I've seen him go onto his butt and his feet, onto one arm. You know, the guy posts up and he's back on his feet before you know it. I think that's part of his moniker, which is something like the magician, I believe. Which, if you are a fighter and you're calling yourself that, you can tell that this guy's got a good sense of humor. The co-main event is probably the last time we'll ever see Rampage. Quentin Rampage Jackson in the octagon. He takes on Glover Teixeira, a rising star in the 205 division. Teixeira is already being billed as, the next contender. And for good reason. Trains with Hackelman up in the pit. Big 205er. Throws bombs. Him and Fabio Maldonado beat each other's faces to a pulp. Great matchup there. Check that one out if you can. But in this matchup, Quentin Rampage Jackson has made a career on sitting in the pocket, getting low, head movement, and counter hooks. Both hands, tremendous power. And Teixeira, he comes with more straight punches. He will loop some hooks, some long hooks, tries to keep the fight at his distance, but he's very susceptible to counterpunching, as Maldonado put uppercuts and straight rights into his face and had him wobbled multiple times in that fight. Fantastic fight, as I mentioned before. And if that's not enough, here's another co-main event style fight, and that's Donald Cerrone and Anthony Pettis. If you've seen these guys throughout their WEC careers, their UFC careers, these guys are fantastic fan-friendly fighters. Pettis, he's the guy who, last guy to beat Benson Henderson, is the last WEC lightweight champ. And other than a hiccup against Clay Guida, where he got grounded out, he's just looked fantastic. This fight... It's one of those ones you just know that the stand-up is going to be explosive. And I like how Anthony Pettis put it. I'm not going to be the first one to shoot. As in, I'm not going to be the first one to take it to the ground. And I like that mindset because, you know, these guys are willing to trade with each other. And somebody's going to get clipped and somebody's going to go and grab an ankle. Looking forward to that one, and I'm also looking forward to a very meaningful fight. Eric Koch, who was all set to fight Jose Aldo for the featherweight strap at 145. Things fell apart there, multiple injuries. Now it's Frankie Edgar's chance, much higher billing, and he's going to fight Ricardo Lamas, so Lamas Koch, and this is actually could very well be the number one contender fight. Earlier on this card, you're going to have Clay Guida. He's fighting Hatsu Hayoki. Hayoki's a Japanese fighter that the UFC brought over to fight for the 145 title, but has not really shown his best performances thus far. And that's also a contender one, because if Clay Guida gets a big win there, he's got one of the bigger names in the 145 division, and he's yet to fight at 145 pounds. A lot of good fights on there. The prelims start at 2 o'clock West Coast time on FX and the Fox card at 5 p.m. So check those out. Should be a great night of fights. I saw something funny last night in a original six game, Rangers Bruins. The tallest guy in NHL history, who's shouldn't be known for that. He's actually one of the best defensemen in the league, and that's Chara. He is really, for real, 6'9", and you put some skates on him, you know, he's looks really, really menacing on the ice, and he moves well. But he got a high-sticking call, and that made me laugh, because no matter where this guy keeps this stick other than keeping it firmly placed on the ice, it's almost automatically a high stick. And I also noticed that the Rangers, with their pickup of Nash, that line is very impressive. That's one of the better lines I've seen thus far in the NHL in this young season. So watch out for that line, and watch out for how many points Nash racks up. Other big news I saw before I hit the record switch was the Upton brothers appear to be heading to Atlanta together. Let me know what your thoughts are there. The Atlanta Braves picking up Justin Upton via trade and Chris Johnson to play third base. That's quietly going to be a very solid pickup for them. If you look at Chris Johnson's numbers and his abilities, good ball player. They do lose Martin Prado, and they obviously picked up B.J. Upton earlier in the free agent signing period. So let me know what you think about that pickup. Hayward, Upton. Is that one of the better outfields defensively and offensively in baseball? Possibly. I don't know if it's going to be like Little League, where the Upton brothers probably smashed everybody in sight, but it does seem like a solid move. A couple righties and a lefty in the outfield. I think it's all going to depend on who can get on base for them, since they lost Prado in that trade. Let me know. LanceRobbinsSports@yahoo.com. That's LanceRobbins Sports@yahoo.com. And you can look up the Facebook page. Hey, it's a sports show with Lance Robbins. And as always, thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.